raise the sword, and you will join me. Choose the ball, and you join your mother in death. You don't understand my words, but you must choose.
October 14th, 2015, the Thank You Rob podcast, episode number 150.
It's a milestone.
It's a monumental day, treated as such, because we're here at the Hideaway Studios. Joe Mabbitt.
Hey, hey.
How you doing?
I'm great.
Thank you for doing the show here.
Absolutely.
We really appreciate that.
Thanks for coming to my spot.
Yeah. It's beautiful, by the way.
It really is. Yeah. It's an amazing
studio. Incredible. Just a great atmosphere. I feel very comfortable.
Yeah, it is comfortable.
And it's the couches.
It is the couches.
Yeah. It's a new,
apparently
the
new
couch.
The new couches.
I'm going to go ahead and just sit back. Oh, can I do it? I can do it.
You can do it.
Barely.
Not these couches, you can't lose these keys in these couches.
No.
I did.
That's right.
Shout out to
Egypto Knuckles. Lost his keys in the couch. He lost his keys. And then he went out to his car and he couldn't find his keys. And it was like straight up panic. And then sure enough, they were in the
deep in the couch.
Yeah.
The keys to the Volkswagen.
Yeah.
He's still pushing that Volkswagen, isn't he?
He is, I think.
Yeah.
Well, he was then.
Well, shout out to Egypto Knuckles.
What up?
Shout out to Shaggy 2 Dope of the Insane Clown Posse.
Why do you point at me when you say that?
I don't know. I don't know why. Because not everyone's going to get that.
Yeah,
it's his birthday today. 41. Yeah.
Good for Shaggy.
Yeah.
It's sort of a miracle that members of the Insane Clown Posse can live that long, you know?
Right. Fago Cola has a lot of sugar.
I was just
going
to say, it's with all the Fago, that's got to be some serious medical concerns.
Yeah,
it's just like a lifestyle, too, man.
It is.
Yeah. That's intense.
Yeah. I was listening to, there's another podcast out there, these LA guys. One of them, do you guys remember the show Night Court?
Yeah.
Oh, of course.
Do you remember John Larroquette?
Yeah.
His son, John Larroquette Jr., does this podcast. He doesn't like piggyback off of the name or off of his dad or anything. But these two California guys, it's a very entertaining podcast.
Hmm.
But they just talk about bullshit. They just bullshit. That's it. There's really no point to what they're doing. But they are like 400 plus episodes in, and it's very entertaining.
Nice.
They were talking about Halloween and Halloween in Detroit, and they jokingly said, oh, here comes the Juggalos. Which
they
is true.
To town.
Which is, yeah, in Detroit on Halloween, it's kind of an interesting. I've been there. Well, what should we mention here? We got to talk about subscribing to this podcast, the Thank You Rob podcast. We're 150 episodes in, and we do appreciate those who subscribe to the show.
And we've grown by leaps and bounds just over the last maybe year or so.
Yeah, we're pretty big time.
We are sort of big time.
Big
now.
Time. Yeah. So if you could subscribe to the iTunes, the show on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, you can do that too.
If you're an Android, hello.
Yeah. And I've recently found a new app, if you're an iOS iPhone guy or girl.
Or girl.
Overcast is a podcast app, and I find it to be pretty damn good over Apple's podcast.
You prefer it to the regular old podcast app on the iPhone?
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty slick. It's free. Overcast. Check it out. And I have no stake in that, so I'm not making any money off of that. It's just a personal recommendation, and I like it.
Brought to you by Carl's Jr.
and if you subscribe in there, it's still subscribed through iTunes, and you can review the podcast through there. So check it out. Overcast. Shout out to Atmosphere. They have no stake in it.
No stake in it either.
Right.
Yeah.
you want to talk about Cold Kingdom?
Yeah, let's jump in. So a week ago or 2 weeks ago on the podcast, we were talking about friends of the podcast, Cold Kingdom, Jason and Danny, who are on the show.
Yes.
Back in, we say it was February, I think.
Yep.
As just an update for people, they were gearing up to head out of town for some shows over the weekend. Someone came through and stole their trailer.
Straight up stole it.
All their equipment, guitars, basses, drums, pedals, monitors, microphone. I mean, everything was stolen. It ended up being a loss, after they filled out the police reports, estimated $33,000.
Shit.
Which is insane, right?
Yes.
So they were working off the, they did a GoFundMe that was put together for them, and that was really good. Last I checked, I think they're somewhere in the $7,000 range. I haven't checked it recently, though, so I'm not sure where they were.
It's getting up there.
But I, in some really cool and positive news, a company called Electro Voice donated a bunch of gear to them to help them get back on their feet and not have to miss any more dates than what they missed.
Yes.
They donated $15,000 worth of microphones, speakers, and other equipment to the band last week. So huge shout out to Electro Voice for stepping up and doing something.
Absolutely, yeah. That's a great situation they got going.
For doing something cool for them, because that's amazing. And we talked about it before in the last episode, but like people, I mean, these aren't rock stars. These are people who have regular jobs. You get $33,000 in the hole, it can be hard to keep going.
Absolutely.
But it was very cool. So they stepped up to the plate, and yeah.
Just for a second, I want to get in the mind of the criminals.
Yeah.
The assholes that stole this. You know, like, do you think they knew what they were stealing? Like, an enclosed trailer. I don't know if it was labeled like Cold Kingdom.
No, it was white, plain white trailer.
Okay. So obviously they have serial numbers and probably their names on like the drum kit or something. You know what I mean?
Probably.
Eventually they're going to try to sell this.
Right. They're going to try to pawn it off somewhere.
And they're probably going to get cut. Like, at this point, do you think they're just like, shit?
Especially with all the press it's got. I mean, they got featured on Fox 9. They got featured on Care 11. So people are aware of what's going on. Now, maybe if they drive this stuff to Chicago or Milwaukee and try and pawn it there, they're probably fine.
It's in a trailer. Pitch it up. They'll try to make some money and hopefully cover gas.
But you're not going to be able to. I mean, it'd be tough to sell it around here, I think.
Yeah. So. Well, you assholes are going to get caught.
Yeah.
All right. You think you're so smart, but you're not. All right. You're going to get caught. Just bring it back. We'll just pretend like this never happened.
Park it where you left. Found it, basically.
Just bring it back.
Cold Kingdom does get to keep the Electro Voice equipment.
Yeah.
End of story.
And so, and we'll hope to get them back here pretty soon. Get Jason and Danny and the rest of the members of Cold Kingdom back on the show.
It'd be cool to hear their side of
things. Just check in with them and hear their story.
Absolutely.
I think they were in Mankato last weekend.
They were indeed. Another thing that happened this week. Rhyme Sayers announced their lineup for the 20-year anniversary show. Joe here is very familiar with the Rhyme Sayers crew.
Indeed.
You've worked a lot with them.
Extensively.
I've had a couple works with them, yep.
Yeah. So it's pretty much the whole Rhyme Sayers catalog.
Yeah, I mean, we were going through the list of all the artists who were performing. Mm-hmm. The show is December 4th, Target Center.
Yes.
Pre-sale actually started today for those people on the Rhyme Sayers mailing list.
And got you got your ticket.
Code. I did. I got my. It was funny. I was feeling kind of old when I bought my tickets, because I was like, every ticket's the same price unless you're VIP. So you can get floor, you can get seats. Initially, I was like, well, of course I'm going to get on the floor. And then I'm like, oh, but the thought of having a chair.
I'm going to do some mosh pitting.
is kind of nice. And
the
I'm
chair
like,
is nice these days,
oh,
man.
I'm an old man. So then I rebelled against my oldness and I bought floor seats. And I probably will regret it the next day, but I'm going to do it.
John, you just want to kick back and enjoy the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, from an optimal view.
Not me. I'll be on the floor.
So you don't even have the choice to sit.
No, there's no chairs on the floor.
You're going to be on the floor, and you're going to be like, is there a chair I can sit in? Can someone give me a damn chair?
You can maybe hang way, way back.
Yeah.
Can somebody get me a goddamn chair?
Yeah.
So we were
my back is hurting.
We were going through the list of Rhyme Sayers artists past, present, not future. Well, maybe future too, but past and present.
Yeah.
We were trying to identify artists from the Rhyme Sayers history who are not
on the list.
On the list of performers.
Yes.
The ones that we thought of, Mac Lethal
is
not performing.
Right.
Mass Hysteria. Not performing.
Yeah.
Other than that, it's pretty impressive, the list. It's huge.
It is. I don't understand how they're going to Is this show a 24-hour show?
It's really long.
It's really long. It's like a 5 o'clock start time, right?
It starts at 5. Yeah.
Everybody gets 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Everyone gets a 5 minutes.
POS is playing in Chicago that same night.
Really?
So he's clearly to be doing his thing and hopping on a plane and going.
So, yeah, he might be doing this. He might be opening the show.
Right,
and bailing
Interesting.
Out. I didn't know that. That's inside. Is that inside?
That's
scoop?
Not. Nope. That is
that's
not,
public
that is,
knowledge.
That is public knowledge.
It is now.
I'm just spouting it out there right now.
And I think also it's cool that they're getting, you know, like Slug will be there doing atmosphere stuff, but they're also doing a felt set.
Yeah.
Aesop Rock's doing an Aesop Rock set, but he's also doing a Hail Mary Malin set. Mm-hmm. So it's cool that they're sort of getting stuff together. I'm super excited to see Freeway.
And Evidence.
Yeah.
And they're doing Dilated Peoples.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So people are pulling double duty all night here.
Absolutely.
All night long. Freeway.
You know, The Uncluded is also Aesop Rock.
Oh, yeah.
So Aesop Rock's doing three sets.
Holy shit.
Or he's doing one set and they're going to combine it and they're just using the names.
Yeah, they might. They might. But it's pretty cool to see like some of the older rhymes, like Soul Position.
Mm-hmm. So do you think...
Los Nativos.
Do you think we have enough time, since it's not till December, that we can start a new campaign to get Aesop Rock to play Breakdance Beach?
It very well could.
Are you familiar with the song Breakdance Beach from Hail Mary Malin?
Yes.
Joe?
Yeah, yeah.
So when we found out they were going to be playing Soundset this year, and we started an online campaign to try and get them to play Breakdance Beach, Aesop Rock was not amused and was like, stop it, we're not going to play that song. It was like, he was like weirdly mad about it.
Internet beef.
Yeah, and then he started an internet beef with our buddy Joe Grizzly about it.
Uh-oh.
So we're going to try it again, though, you know? If
it's
at first you don't succeed,
it's worth it.
So you've only tried this once.
We tried it once at Soundset, and he was not interested. But now we got time.
You got some time.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go ahead and say it's gonna fail again.
Probably. Yeah.
But the next time,
maybe
the third time's a charm.
That's what they say.
That's,
right?
You know, maybe next Soundset or something. Mm-hmm. If they're doing it, rocking it out there again.
Because I'm living that Breakdance Beach life. I need to hear it.
Sure.
You need to. I don't know. I think it's a good. Good effort. Give it the old college try again.
Yeah,
Let's see what we can do. I'll get on board with that.
You're going to get on board with the campaign?
I mean, they made a video for the song, so it's not like he doesn't...
It's not some obscure song.
Right, he's not disowning
not
the song.
Deep cuts.
No, it's not a deep cut
right.
at all.
Apparently in his live performance repertoire, it is.
And yeah, we talked about that the first time we tried to get him to do it. He's mentioned before that the song doesn't go over very well live. Here, at least, he says that it hasn't gone over very well live. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's the reason. But, I mean, if you get a big crowd at Target Center, I think people would get down to Breakdance Beach.
He's got this. Well, should we talk about the year 1995?
Yep.
Do you guys remember 1995 very well?
Vaguely.
Vaguely?
It's like, that's a special year for me. That's my year that I entered into the Minneapolis workforce.
Really?
That's the year I moved here. Yep.
Nice.
So I've been here for 20 years now.
So we got that.
What were you
that
doing
was a big
in,
year.
What were you doing in 95?
95, I couldn't even tell you. I was in high school. I know that.
I was 12.
You were 12.
Yep.
So I was 16. Well, what did happen, dial-up modems happened.
Yep.
Windows 95. Bill
was
Clinton.
Was Windows 95 big in 95?
Yeah, it was pretty big.
Or was it like Dr. J's 2001 and it really came out in 98?
No,
99.
That was true 95.
Okay.
They named it because of the year. It happened that year.
Wait, so it was Windows 95?
Yeah.
Isn't it Windows 10 now?
Yeah.
It is Windows 10.
That's messed up.
I feel like
they're regressing.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to call it like an X or a, you know, 10. Right.
Didn't they skip 9 altogether?
They did skip 9, yeah.
Well, it's because their last couple operating systems before that were so bad, they had to like, it's like skipping 13 in a hotel room.
Yeah, right, there you go. As a tech guy, every other version of Windows always has problems.
Sure.
So Windows 7 was awesome, 8 sucked, 10 is where it's at.
Yeah.
There you go.
Just like XP was good and Vista was shit.
Yes, exactly like that. what else? Bill Clinton was big.
Yep,
he was the president. eBay debuted.
Mm.
Starter jackets were big.
I had a starter jacket.
Biggie and Pac were still alive. The Grateful Dead announced a breakup. And the GZA released Liquid Swords, or as you call it. Liquid S Words. Now, Joe, were you a big Wu-Tang guy? Are you?
I enjoy the Wu-Tang. I enjoy me some Ghostface in particular.
Mm-hmm.
I would say I probably absorbed more Ghostface than the entire clan themselves.
Okay.
So
that's what I love about Wu-Tang is like there's so many of them. Nine, to be exact, yeah. That everyone has like a favorite.
As their guy.
And I like this one for this reason, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, Ghostface recently, he put it, well, I shouldn't say recently, like within the last 10 years, he did those Fish Scale albums that were so good.
So good.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I think recently he is probably, Ghost has probably been the most
active?
Successful and maybe active. Well, I mean, yeah. Method Man always sort of, is always around.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
But Ghostface has been putting out, I think, the best quality of work over the last 10 years.
Absolutely. Absolutely. A little later in life, more recently, I've gotten into Inspecta Deck, who was kind of like one of those members that I often forgot about.
Right.
Yeah.
But he's got this group with 7L and Esoteric. These are a rapper producer guy, and it's called Czarface. I've talked about it on the podcast. Czarface, and it is really, really good. Really good.
I thought of Inspecta Deck as like the Bumblebee of.
The Transformers Bumblebee. I see what you're saying. There's a couple like You God, Ghost or Master Killer. There's the kind of guys that just kind of take the background.
So
really
basically,
well.
Everyone who isn't like GZA, RZA, right. Method Man, Ghostface, right?
Yeah, or Old Dirty Bastard,
or ODB. Yeah. Yeah.
And there's like 14 other members, right?
Well, there's like the affiliate
nine. There's like the nine main ones, and then like the sort of ancillary,
right.
Members and some of the non-members who are like affiliated with the crew,
right.
Like Redman, for example, not in Wu-Tang,
right.
But affiliated with Wu-Tang. Right. He's probably more famous than most members of Wu-Tang.
Right.
You know,
I was so into Wu-Tang in like the mid '90s that it was like you'd read articles in magazines like Redman, member of the Wu-Tang Clan. I'd be like, you're a fucking idiot.
Back.
Yeah, you're so dumb. Why am I reading your dumb magazine? Yeah, but okay, so GZA's sophomore album, Liquid Swords, came out in 95. And GZA was so like, his rhyme style is so like, is it sophisticated? Is it, it's intricate. It was far beyond me. Like, I couldn't get into it. But the production, the RZA production is just, that is like that era.
Ridiculous.
So on point. That's what makes the album to me a classic.
So that was 95.
That was 95.
20 years ago.
20 years later.
November 7th?
Yes, sir.
Is 20 years to the day.
20 years to the day.
And it took him 20 years to be certified platinum, right? That's the big deal is that just last month, it was finally certified platinum.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
That's, you know, good run. I mean, you push that record for 20 years, you get the platinum plaque. So good for
it's
him.
Not bad, yeah.
And he's been pretty active. He's been putting out albums every 4 or 5 years or so. He actually had an album called Pro Tools, which was kind of a play off of the recording software, Pro Tools.
An homage.
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually, on this album, Liquid Swords, he had a track called Labels, and it was like a 2-minute track where he name dropped like single record label of the time, Tommy Boy, everything. And it was very well, you know, he kind of had this way with words that he can do that, you know. I gave it a solid listen again. It was, and I can get into it. There's some bangers on there.
Sure.
But man, RZA, when he was behind every project that the Wu-Tang did, it was just a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Just a beautiful thing.
So shout out to GZA.
Yeah, shout him out. Shout him out.
Platinum.
Big like, tub.
He cares about our shout outs.
He does. Absolutely. As he should.
Like, I've been waiting for the respect of the Thank You Rob podcast.
Yeah. Can you give him a shout out, Joe?
Yeah. What's up? Way to go on the platinum.
Finally.
Yeah.
Finally.
Two decades in. That's pretty good.
You deserve it. Putting in work.
Yeah. So that's cool. I mean, it's kind of weird. I did some research to find, like, where is this album ranked, like, in Wu-Tang albums? Because collectively, group albums, solo albums, people rank shit, and people obviously like to share their opinions.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why you start...
That's why the internet exists.
Right, and that's why you start your own podcast.
Right, yeah, absolutely.
So, because my opinion, very important, very important.
Super important.
But this album is often either within the top five, usually, like, second-ranked best Wu-Tang album.
Best Wu-Tang solo album or so, including
albums altogether.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
So that's the weird thing. It's like if all of these people are putting this on their list that high and it's just reaching platinum status,
yeah.
Where is everybody?
I don't know.
Where is everybody?
Well, it's just people don't. I mean, I don't know what they were doing in 95, but now we know where. I mean, people just aren't buying records.
Yeah.
I mean, it's sort of a miracle that he made it platinum and all, that anyone makes platinum that isn't getting radio, you know, play.
That's true.
Maybe or they, isn't maybe they didn't music. Count cassettes back in the day. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what the rules
that
were.
No, you don't get platinum if you're selling cassettes.
Maybe a lot of them were stolen. Stolen.
Yeah, sure.
Just they were in the back of Cold Kingdom's trailer.
Oh, that's good. That is rich.
That's a callback right there.
It is a callback.
Yep. I'm working on my callbacks.
Let's go, how about a callback to last Thursday?
Last Thursday night?
Last Thursday night, Madonna was in town. Show of hands.
Did you go to the show?
Show of hands. Who went to the show?
I had, it was my birthday last Thursday.
And I'm
getting over a cold, and I really wanted to go. I had free tickets.
Did
and
you?
I just didn't go.
I would go see Madonna if I had free tickets.
It was a heavy contemplation on my part, and I just opted out.
Did you hear from anyone if it was a good show or not?
No.
No.
I don't know. My wife saw her the last time she was in town. Yeah. She was not impressed.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I couldn't even tell you what a Madonna show would be like. I'm sure there would be some religiously offensive things.
Oh,
she probably
sure.
still does that bit. Well, she played this show at the Excel last week. And then at some point in the night, an exclusive amount of people, I think it was like 33 people, were invited. I don't know if it was via text message or phone call or
A pigeon. DM on Twitter.
It's however the bat phone works for that situation.
And so Minnesota's own, the Current's own Andrea Swenson was invited.
Yeah,
right?
she got the invite.
I don't know how she got on Prince's list.
Paisley Park Studios.
He sends up the bats. He sends up the Prince signal.
Yep. Prince
into
signal
the sky.
Yeah, it makes that noise.
So Andrea Swenson must be making big moves if she's
getting
invites,
on that list.
If she's on the 33 person list to go to hang out at Prince's.
Wait a minute, we got to know. Were you on the list? Did you get the call?
I did not get the call. Now, that being said, again, I was really hopped up on cold medicine that night, so I may have just missed the call.
They might have invited you while you were at the show, too, like
that's
since
true.
You didn't
go
to the show.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Maybe you were there and you don't even remember it.
That could be, too.
It's also possible.
There's a lot of options.
So there was, they put out the call. Big thing going on at Paisley Park Studios. These 33 people were invited. Only about 60 so people showed up.
Mm-hmm.
And Prince likes to do this. We've heard this. We were over at Noiseland interviewing.
Andrew.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, I got you. Shout out to Andrew.
Andrew Volna. He shared how this kind of works. He was saying before the days of cell phones, he got a phone call in the middle of the night one night at like 2 a.m. Mm-hmm. and went over to Paisley Park for one of these shows. And, you know, he does this occasionally.
Sure.
So this is what happened, you know, and
because they did the packaging on the Crystal Ball record.
They did. That's, at Noiseland.
Yeah, at Noiseland.
That's right.
Yeah. So this happened Thursday night. So Andrea Swenson of The Current went over there. She has a nice write-up on City Pages about her experience with this, which is always like, it's like an elusive mystery. What happens at these shows? All I know is that you wait a long time.
Yeah. And you never know if he's going to show up or not.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I don't know if I could do that.
Either he shows up or they turn the lights on and say, party's over.
Yeah. Right. Have a good night.
There's pancakes on your way out.
road pancakes.
Yeah, road pancakes.
Shaped in the Prince symbol.
Yes.
Shing.
So,
but this happened. So Prince comes out and he starts playing. Madonna shows up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, holy shit, only 60 people were there, you know?
But think about the story those 60 people can tell.
Oh, my
like,
God.
I was in a room with Madonna and Prince.
Yeah, yeah. I got a buddy, my...
The only way that story could be cooler is if it was 1985. Then it would be way cooler,
right? Yeah. No, everybody's got, like, I got a buddy, my best friend, that's like, he went to a Prince concert, and then after, he's like, everyone come to Paisley Park after the show, and he did, and he was there till like, 4 a.m., and... Like, he'll never let me forget that he did that.
He went to the party and you didn't go to the party.
Right. And then my mom has gone to see Prince a couple times and she's always like, I've never gone to the show. I've never gone to the after party. And I'm like, you got to go.
Should
you
got
to go. You really missed out on something, apparently.
Yeah.
Maybe Madonna would have shown up.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The closest I ever got to going to a Prince show was I was driving a shuttle van, my old job in St. Paul, and he was performing at the Excel Center. It was during the Musicology tour. And so I was driving people to the show, but that was the tour where he was giving out CDs with ticket.
Right.
So, like, people got drunk and left, like, 9 copies of Musicology in my van. So I have 9 copies of Musicology.
Really? I do not own that album.
Well, I'm sure I can get you a copy.
Sure, I would love that.
I know a guy.
I know a guy who drove a shuttle van.
Slanging those Musicology CDs.
I saw Prince at Block E, before Block E is the big monstrosity that it is now.
Yeah.
When it was to be just a giant parking lot. I don't know if you remember back in the day, as you know, back in the late 90s, they used to have like block parties down there.
Right, yeah.
I saw the Smashing Pumpkins down there once.
wow.
But yeah, Prince was down there, and this was like right after his, like, I'm not going to use any sexuality in my songs. So he was trying to pull the off some of the older songs, but changing words and things. Yeah, it was a little disappointing.
So he still does that, though, doesn't he?
I don't know. I don't know.
He does some of the songs have just been retired. Yeah. Like, there's no way to clean up Darling Nikki.
Right.
You know, that song's done.
Yeah.
But I think he's changing lyrics on some of the stuff he has to play.
Yeah.
You know?
That's too bad. Because I want to hear that raunchy stuff.
Yeah. Raunchy. That's the good. That's the
stuff that people really like to get down to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not this Purple Yoda stuff, man. I don't know what's going on there.
Well, it sounds like we missed out on this here. Mm-hmm. You know, he brought out Third Eye Girl, and they performed a 10-song set. And apparently, the show didn't. Andrea Swenson left after like this 10-song set, and they did like a whole nother. They kept playing all hours of the night.
All hours of the night.
Of course.
Just, you know, that's too
bad.
Come
on, Andrea. Well, get your game up. Yeah. Why did you have to go home? Were you tired?
Her kids probably get up at 6 a.m.
She has kids?
I don't know.
Let's just go with that.
Let's just go with it. Yeah. Just for the sake of ending
this. Let's get her on the podcast and see what she...
let's get the inside scoop.
Explain herself.
Right.
Let's get the inside scoop.
Yep.
Do you want to talk about DJ Jazzy Jeff?
Yeah, why not?
And the Fresh Prince?
And the Fresh Prince.
We remember them.
We remember them
because
fondly.
Parents just don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
That was them, right?
Yep.
Parents don't understand.
Yep.
Nightmare on My Street.
Mm-hmm. Summertime.
Summertime. Oh, that's a classic.
Classic.
That song came up on my Pandora station like 2 days ago.
Summertime?
Yeah, and it was just, that's too late. It's too late.
Yep.
It was a cold day in Minnesota. It was just inappropriate.
You don't want to hear it in October.
So they're working on a new album.
Yep.
Is it time? Is it time for more DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince?
Your guess is as good as mine.
Yeah. I mean, yeah,
do
people
you
be want
on the
this?
Nostalgia factor?
I mean, Madonna's doing sold out shows at the XL, right?
That's
right.
True.
So who's to argue that? So.
I mean, they just got to be doing it because they want to hang out. Because I mean, maybe Jazzy Jeff needs the money, but Will Smith does not need the money.
No,
he's just
got
to be doing it because he wants to do it.
Here's the thing about DJ Jazzy Jeff, is that he is a very active DJ. Like, he is working. I think like 150 plus gigs a year.
Well, he's in demand.
He's in demand, yeah. So it's not like he needs the paycheck. I mean, I'm sure the paycheck would help.
Sure, why not?
Why not?
But he doesn't need it.
Would you rather see a Fresh Prince of Bel-Air reboot, or would you rather see a new DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince album? Now remember...
who plays the Fresh Prince character in the reboot?
Well, I'd have to... It'd have to be.
Are we talking all the original characters?
It'd have to be original.
Didn't Uncle Phil pass away? Uncle Phil passed away.
Oh, yeah.
They could make that happen. They probably work that
CGI.
Into the story.
CGI.
I would rather see the show than if that's the case. If you're bringing back all the original characters.
Right.
Yeah, I'd rather see the show. You could like Jar Jar Binks Uncle Phil into the story.
Yeah.
Just have him CGI with like all these regular people and then the CGI characters sort of intermix.
They could get George Lucas involved.
Yeah.
I'm sure he could use the money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Get some Fresh Prince money. I don't know, you know, because their music was always kind of clean, wasn't it?
Very much so.
Yeah, so.
Family friendly.
Maybe that's needed these days. You know, the kids are.
You sound super old right now.
I do. But there is, I mean, we're all parents now.
Sure.
We're all parents here, guys. Let's be realistic. All right?
You know what that means, Rob?
What does it mean?
We just don't understand.
Yep.
Or do we?
Oh, we're flipping the table.
Oh, because, you know, all this music is like, watch me whip, watch me nay nay.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
What the fuck does that mean?
I just got turned on to that.
To the whip,
just
the nay-nay?
In this last week, and it's blowing my kid's mind.
Yeah,
it's just like, oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah. But to see my 2-year-old do that and try to sing along to the song is killing me. Slash, it's horrible.
That's good stuff.
Right, right. So maybe this is something that we need right now.
Yeah.
Maybe it is.
I appreciate your optimism.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, man.
So does the Fresh Prince.
Yeah.
What was their last album? It was called Code Red. 1993. Do you guys remember that album at all?
Nope.
No. No recollection.
There was a song called Boom, Shake the Room.
Oh, I do remember
Boom,
that song.
Boom, Shake, Shake, Shake the Room.
I do remember that song, yeah.
It was kind of a, I guess, party anthem type
song. It was
song.
A jam, actually.
They were probably trying to get
song.
On board with like
we
the
should,
jump around.
I wish you had that.
Oh,
we'd,
sure.
We'd play that. That could, we could play us out with that.
I wish I did have that. I don't have that song.
It's a shame.
Yeah. You know what? That song did sample Jump by Criss Cross.
Did it?
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Eh, a little known fact.
Sure.
But apparently 20 to 30 songs have been recorded for this new project. So
good for them. Yeah, were we talking last good for them. What were we talking about last week? Will Smith was in the studio with Kanye.
Yeah. He has recorded some songs with Kanye West.
Is that for this album?
I would think so. Kanye is not knocking at Will Smith's door being like, "You got to get on my next album." You gotta.
So it's gotta
yeah,
be for
but
this
at the
album.
Same time, is Kanye like accepting the door knock from Will?
Apparently,
like,
I don't know.
Yeah,
apparently, apparently yeah.
Well, good for him.
Well, this
too.
Is only rumor. We haven't heard anything.
It's rumor, innuendo.
Yeah,
yes,
sure.
We
yes.
don't know if it's fact.
Yeah,
factual.
Yeah.
Well, soon enough, we will find
yeah.
out.
Yeah,
we will find out. So, well, you don't have any wrestling news this week.
No, but we can still advertise it.
Can we?
We can advertise it. We can set up the segment, then we can. Not do it.
All right. Talk amongst yourselves while I get this ready to go.
Get it ready.
Talk amongst
yourselves.
We have
an intro to the wrestling.
Get this ready.
So, Joe, we have an intro to the wrestling news segment.
Going to wrestling.
Yep. Are you guys ready? Johnny Question Mark's Wrestling News of the Week. Brought to you by his radio show airing on WEQY Eastside Radio 104.7 every Thursday at 8 p.m.
Thursdays at 8. 104.7 WEQY. It's all local hip hop.
What do you got for wrestling news?
I don't have any wrestling news.
All right.
R-A-S-S-M-I-N, that's wrestling.
Joe Mabbitt.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Joe Mabbitt.
Joe.
Here we are.
Hello.
Joe, do you buy stuff on Amazon ever?
I buy a ton of stuff on Amazon,
Joe,
actually. I'm
Joe,
sorry.
Joe,
this
I am telling you, man.
You're setting us up for this promo spot perfectly.
Here
so,
we go.
So, you know. We're having you on the show. After this, you're going to be a huge star.
I can't wait.
You know, that's pretty common.
It's a guarantee.
People follow
Either
us.
Either that or all your equipment's going to be stolen.
Okay. Well, one of the two.
I really hope that does not happen to you.
Yeah, me too.
Wow. John, wow.
It's a good thing
that
this isn't in the trailer.
It happened up the road at the Taylor Sound.
Ooh. Uh-huh. Well, let's talk about... Okay, so...
No, that's not going to happen to you.
A great way to support the podcast is we have an Amazon Associates account. Are you familiar with what that is?
I'm not, actually.
Okay, so people can purchase stuff on Amazon, which people do all the time.
Yeah,
if you go to thankyourob.com/Amazon, or just go to thankyourob.com and click the Amazon button, it takes you to Amazon, but there's a unique link within that URL to Amazon that whatever you purchase through that, prices are still the same. We get a 6% of the advertising fees kickback.
Really?
So, yeah.
Small portion of the proceeds come back to help the podcast cover our production costs.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm on it.
So people, you don't have to do anything special. Just go to thankyourob.com/Amazon.
And
it'll take you to Amazon, make your Amazon purchases.
Right.
And
everything Prime works.
Still use Prime, still use gift cards, still use anything. It's the same. It's the same Amazon you always go to.
Yeah.
The same Amazon you know and love.
And it's a great way to support the podcast.
Because you're not... It's not like you're just handing money over. You're not donating money to us.
Right.
You're purchasing what you need to buy, except taking this slight
just
extra step.
This little detour.
Yeah.
It's a great way to show us that you care.
With all the traffic that's happening in the Twin Cities right now, just going slightly out of your way, not a big problem.
Not a problem at all.
Can't be.
No.
It can't be. All right. But if you could, anyone who's listening, Christmas time is coming.
It is.
The
Santa Claus.
Goose is getting
fat. Santa Claus is coming to town.
That's right.
And this is a great way to do this. And I have to explain this to my family.
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of people buy stuff in my family through Amazon. I have to try to explain to them, people who don't use the internet very well, you know, like how to use this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to put through like a tutorial walkthrough.
Just create like a little PowerPoint presentation.
PowerPoint, yeah.
On how to do it.
So that's a great way to support the podcast. If you could, we'd really appreciate that. But Joe Mabbitt, the real reason why we're here tonight.
Yeah.
The Hideaway Studios, a lot of history here.
Yeah. Sure.
A lot of history here and a lot of history to be made.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Including
one of my favorite dudes we've ever had on the podcast. Joe and I have a bit of a history. He mixed Falling in Like when we did that record a year and a half ago now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he was an all-around kick-ass dude. And when I reached out to him and said, "Hey, Joe, you want to do this podcast?" He was very sweet, very open to do it. And so now here he is. Here we are, one of the coolest dudes we've had on the show.
I didn't even have to go anywhere. You guys came to me.
That's
a great thing.
This is a great place to record.
It is
anything. Sure. But it's a great place to record a podcast. It's comfortable. It's friendly. It's inviting.
Atmosphere is nice.
And it's cool because Rob had never seen the studio before.
I'd never seen.
So we got to get the little grand tour.
Now you know.
So many lights.
There's
so many
a lot
buttons.
Of lights. Yeah.
So many.
I love
so
lamp.
Many.
I love. I love lava lamp.
Yeah.
And there is one.
Sure. There's two. Don't just
two
single
lava
one
lamps?
Out.
Oh,
man.
Right. There is. Yeah. Red
take
and
a look around. Just take a look around.
So, Joe, you grew up drumming.
I did. Yeah.
So you have a musical background. It wasn't like I'm going to be a big shot recording studio owner and not
correct.
Know anything about it.
Yes.
Because that happens.
It does.
It does happen.
Yeah.
So what got you into drumming? And you started drumming at a real young age.
Yeah. I have no idea what got me into drumming. I think it was embedded in the DNA, if you will. So. Mm-hmm. You know, my earliest recollections of it is just pulling all the pots and pans out of the cupboards and just smashing them with wooden spoons.
Mm-hmm.
And then getting like a Sears catalog drum set when I was 5. And then finally getting my first real drum set, I think when I was 10 or something like that. And then by the time I was 11, I was playing in bands. So,
wow, 11?
Yeah. I was in a band with a bunch of college dudes when I was 11,
and so you're sort of like a prodigy.
That's awesome.
Well, I don't know if I'm a prodigy. That's a tall order to live up to. But no, I'm from a small town, so I was the best around, I think, for whatever that's worth.
So where are you from? What
I'm
small
from
town?
Green Lake, Wisconsin.
Green Lake, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know where that is.
No, nobody knows where that is. Right. Yeah, it's fine though. It's deepest natural lake in Wisconsin.
Nice.
237 feet.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's weird that you knew that.
A couple of little shout outs to that for the weird facts about Green Lake. Mafia run. So we'll leave that alone.
Is that like the Milwaukee area, Madison area?
No,
nah,
if you drew a triangle between Milwaukee and Madison and went up north and central between the two of them, okay. that's where Green Lake would be.
Yeah. Wow. So that's kind of middle of nowhere.
It really is. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Farmland.
That's great. Yeah. Was it an actual green lake?
It was an actual green lake, yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. Yeah. Not like algae green, but no. Just had this like green hue to it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then now, did your parents play instruments at all? Or
my
anything?
Mom worked her way through college singing in coffee shops, playing acoustic guitar and singing and stuff. Yeah. So I think that's clearly where I can, where I got my musical interest from.
Mm-hmm.
So my older brother played guitar. So, yeah, it's always, you know, music's always been in my life, basically.
Did you and your brother ever form a band?
We did.
Family band?
We were called the Wood Butchers.
The Wood Butchers. Yeah.
It's actually a pretty good band.
It was pretty great. We were in love with, like, the Police, and I loved Primus at the time. What else? Fire
Hose.
So
it was just, like, really thumpy bass, and you could, like, feel it
yeah.
in your chest.
Yeah, totally. Yep.
So it was a mashup of the Police and Primus.
Wow. And Fire Hose. Yeah.
Fire Hose,
which is Mike Watt's old band.
Oh, okay,
it was
okay.
Kind of a, yeah, punk band back in the day. So, yeah, we were awesome slash horrible.
So how did you get into the engineering, mixing, recording side of the world?
Totally by accident. I actually had some family friends who told me about how their son went to college for engineering, which had never really crossed my mind. I had always just thought about playing drums and being I want to be a rock dude in a mm-hmm. rock band and tour the world and stuff. And then that whole thing happened like the summer between my junior and senior year when I was actually supposed to make decisions about what I was going to do with my life. And so I just remember kind of thinking about going to school to become a teacher. Cause I'm fond of children. You know, I think I'm a big kid myself. So,
mm-hmm.
so I was going to be a teacher and I was going to try to figure out a way to make music be a heavy involvement in my teaching. And then this all just came about and they're like, yeah, our son just went to this school in Arizona and now he's a recording engineer. I was like, a recording engineer? Yeah, maybe I'll check that out. And lo and behold, I, you know, went and did that. And
so you went to Arizona?
I did. Yeah. I moved to Phoenix and went to school down there. And This is 21 years ago, so it's not like what schools are like now. My program itself was, I think, 5 months long or something like that.
Wow.
Yeah, and then I did an internship for
So it's not like the 2 year tech programs that they have at like McNally Smith or IPR.
No, not at all. Totally different ballgame. So it was very much a sink or swim mentality back then. Where it was like, we're going to give you some basic knowledge, now get out of here.
And figure it out.
Figure it out, yeah.
And you did like an internship, you said?
Yeah,
there?
I did an internship. So I moved here to the cities in 95.
Okay.
Which at the time had the most recording studios per capita. So I was just like,
wow,
what?
Is that how you made the decision?
Yeah,
like,
it
where
totally
are the
is.
Studios?
It was either, I knew that I was either going to go to come back to the Midwest so I could be close to family, or I was going to go up to Seattle because that was super hot at the time. You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All the grunge crap that was going on. Not crap. I was totally into it. I was totally embedded in it too. But, you know, and I just made the decision to come to Minneapolis and did a little research and found some studios and hit some people up.
So where did you first start working when you...
It was a studio called Trail Mix.
Oh, it sounds delicious.
It was quite tasty. So I interned there, and then they hired me on after a couple months of free labor, basically, and just, you know, slowly worked my way up the ranks there. It was a post house, so we were doing a lot of TV and film. But at night, I was... You know, I was handed the keys and I was able to do my own thing at night and just tried to get bands in and record my own things. I was playing in bands and doing my own thing. So,
sure.
So
who are some of the guys that you worked with back then? Do
real early on, man. I don't know. There was a ska band called Capacity 77. That was like one of the first solo records I did on my own when I was 19. I was in a couple of different bands that weren't really doing anything, but we were just doing a ton of recording. So I was in a metal band, and I was in a, like a pop punk band, and just a bunch of random stuff. Nothing really notable, like a bunch of like, because I was young and I didn't know anything, and nobody wanted to pay me, so I was just hustling and trying to get anything and everything. So
and you've over time have become sort of a staple in the Twin Cities hip hop community.
Yeah.
How did that get, I mean, how did you, where did that start?
Right. It all started actually with Atmosphere. You know, I was working in this space that we're in right now, and it was Trail Mix at the time.
Mm-hmm. So this building that we're sitting in was Trail Mix.
Eventually, like when I started, it was in a location that is now a parking lot for McPhail. Right. And then I was downtown on 4th Street and 1st Ave. In a building down there in the Wyman building, and then we moved here, built out here about 15 years ago.
And just so people know what we're talking about, this is the Grain Belt building, right, in Northeast Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A historic building in its own.
Yes,
right?
very much so. We're in the warehouse building of the complex, and there's four buildings that are involved in this brewery. And so it's kind of a cool, old, funky, you know, building's 100 plus years old.
Sure. Sorry to digress from where you were going.
But anyways, I was in this studio, and there was another guy working with Atmosphere at the time. He'd been kind of working on a couple things here and there. And he had to leave to go do a session down in Atlanta. And he's like, hey, I got this group coming in. They need to do a bunch of recording for their next record. Can you do it while I'm out of town? I was like, yeah, absolutely. And so I went over, and it turned out to be Atmosphere, and that record turned out to be God Loves Ugly. And then,
well,
and you weren't familiar with, I mean, you didn't know them.
I knew of them because of, I knew of them. I had heard of them like a year or two before that because ironically, the band that I was in, we were making a record and we wanted a guy to come in and do some cuts on it. And he brought in Overcast and cut Overcast and did some chopping up on a track. He's like, yeah, man, got to keep it local. I was like, cool, this is great. Sounds good, man.
Yeah.
And then, lo and behold.
So you did the engineering for most of God Loves Ugly?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah, I recorded all of God Loves Ugly. And then that whole like era was a little weird because they did God Loves Ugly, but then like literally I think we wrapped that record up and I think it was maybe a month or two later, they called me up again and were like, hey, we're going to do some more recording, but we want to do it in your studio this time. So there's a whole other room over there called A440, and that's where I recorded that record. And then we came and did Seventh Travels in here. And then how it wound up going down was like part of Seven's Travels went over to God Loves Ugly. Part of God Loves Ugly came over to Seven's Travels. Mm-hmm. They got all jumbled up. But that was the start of it. And then from there, it just kind of escalated. People heard that record. Obviously, that was kind of like one of those records that started making a name for those dudes. And and because I was attached to that, that's kind of where it went.
And yeah, and you, I mean, you ended up, I mean, just locally, you've done records with Atmosphere, Brother Ali, POS, the whole Doomtree Collective.
Yep.
You've done work with Dessa, you know, a lot of, you know, significant names that have contributed a great deal to the local hip hop scene and have made sort of a national impact.
Including Mint Condition.
Mint Condition, yeah.
That's awesome.
We did some horn tracking here for Mint Condition. Sure.
Do you know Ian, by any chance, EMS?
Uh-uh. Ian does the live sound.
He does the live sound
for Mint Condition when they...
I just picture Mint Condition here recording, and he's like over your shoulder. No,
don't do that.
Yeah, that's never how I would do that live.
when did it go from being Trail Mix to being the Hideaway? How did it become your studio?
Yeah, so it's been the Hideaway for 11 years, and 3 years prior to that, so 14 years ago, the owner of the studio, Trail Mix, wanted to move out east, but he wanted to keep this studio up and running. So we came to an arrangement where I was going to manage the place and run it for him while he pursued other interests out east. And it got to a point where we just worked out a deal after X amount of time. He found himself in a little bit of a financial situation. Mm-hmm. And so it was actually a pretty easy transaction. I just, you know, offered to buy him out. And I basically bought him out, and you know, I basically just bought out all the assets, didn't buy the name or anything. Mm-hmm. Let him keep the name, and the Hideaway was born.
There you go.
I liquidated like half the studio and bought a bunch of new gear, and have been building it ever since. So.
There you go.
Yeah.
And the dream continues.
The dream. I will never wake up.
Went from a guy who is, you know, didn't know a 5 month program to now being
program.
And owner of one of, if not the most successful studios here in Minnesota.
Yeah.
It's an impressive sort of journey.
It is, man. And I think about like 20 years ago and how unbelievably green I was. Mm. Like, I clearly like was just thinking about girls and drumming while I was in school. You know what I mean? Like, I wasn't thinking about a career path or anything like that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, and then 2004 officially was yours?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So just over more than 10-year anniversary here.
Yep.
Did you guys have a big blowout? Or?
You know what? I didn't, man. I was so busy. I meant to. And I knew I could have called upon anybody and everybody to be like, let's do a big bash. And it just never came around. So I'm going to have to pull the rhymesayers thing and wait until my 20 years.
Or 20 years.
Or maybe 15 years. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's go unlucky streak and go 13-year anniversary or something. So,
in addition to hip hop, we know of you because of your work in hip hop. But you've done all sorts of different.
Man, I'm all over the place.
Now.
Yeah,
calling you and
I'm equally as known in the Irish folk community as I am in the hip hop. Which is, I'm waiting for those two worlds to clash someday, man. And it hasn't happened yet. But my Irish clientele know exactly what goes on here when they're not here. And I don't think the hip hop clientele knows that. But
they
they do now.
So who are some of the big Irish groups that you've worked with?
I work with a guy named Paddy O'Brien, who
it doesn't get any more Irish than that.
Not at all, man. Paddy like O'Brien. it's so Irish that his accent is so thick that it's pretty hard to understand him sometimes. Mm-hmm. But he's the equivalent. You know, he just won a year or two ago, like the Irish Grammys version of Songwriter of the Year. Like you know, so he's kind of a big wig over there.
So are people
there.
Flying mm-hmm. over from Ireland to come?
Yeah, actually,
really?
Some people do. But that being said, there's a giant Irish community here in the cities, like St. Paul especially. And so I get a lot of people, a lot of locals that, you guys know Kieran's Night.
Oh yeah,
Irish pub.
Yep.
So like, I don't know, man. It's 15 years ago, maybe 16 years ago. I did a box set for them. So the guy that did all the music promotion for that place and brought all the groups in, he was like, hey, I want to record all the people that come in through here, and I want to put out like a Kieran's box set. So all these Irish groups came in, and I recorded them all. And I, like from that, like that kind of sprung all these like offsets from that. So it's been an interesting thing.
That's a good connection.
Yeah, it really is.
Well, that's cool. Are you big? Are you a big fan of Irish?
You know,
folk?
I can take some of it. Yeah. Some of like, you know, some of the playing is insanely intricate and mm-hmm. really technical. I made a joke on my Instagram page about there's a vocalist that I was recording, and I called her the Mariah Carey of this this Irish music, because she, like, some of the weird technicality vocal things that she's doing was just like super impressive.
I think before we head out here, we should get a sample of that.
Yeah, I think we would.
Could you load sure. something up before we head out?
Yeah. I might be able to.
I got to hear that.
So, additionally, you've worked with some pretty big national artists. You've done some work with Snoop Dogg.
Sure. Yep.
I don't know that we've talked about this off the record, but I did notice a Justin Bieber credit.
The Justin Bieber credit is on the wall.
So how did that happen?
Yeah, the Biebs was in town on tour. A lot of these things that happen because people are on tour and they need a place to record. Mm-hmm. And especially if it's like hip hop stuff, like Tech N9ne was just in here mm-hmm. 2 weeks ago when he was here at the Myth or whatever. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so it's usually a phone call or two before somebody's like, "What's the hip hop studio?"
Are we allowed to talk about what Tech N9ne was doing here? Or is it still?
I don't even know. Like, it was so quick, man. It was a blur. Like that dude, mm-hmm. that dude showed up and like knocked out this verse in mm-hmm. literally a take and a half.
Oh, he's a professional.
Holy cow,
absolutely.
Man! Yeah. Yeah. So, it wasn't a Tech N9ne song. It was
okay.
a guest
so
verse.
He was
song,
doing
yeah,
something
similar. Yeah, else. Yeah, exactly. But so a lot of that stuff happens just via people on tour and then making a couple phone calls and then finding this place because of that. And the Justin Bieber thing was the same thing. There's an agency that I work with in LA that just hooks people up with my studio basically. Mm-hmm. And I was supposed to be actually mastering a record that day, and I had to make a phone call to be like, dude, and it was a guy I know that I haven't worked with before, and I just knew him through the industry and friends of friends and stuff like that. And I called him, and it was the first thing we were going to work on, and I was super apologetic. I was like, listen, man, I'm really sorry. This does not happen on a regular basis, but can I bump your session? Right. He's like, yeah, I guess, man. Why, what's up? I was like, you're not going to believe me, but I'm bumping you so I can work with the Biebs. And he's just like,
Justin Bieber.
Oh, yeah, man, I get that all the time. So, but anyways, the Biebs himself stayed at the hotel, and I got to work with his guitar player, who was super phenomenal, mm-hmm. insanely talented.
So you didn't get to meet him?
Nah.
Well, that's too bad.
No, it's all good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn, that's
you
that's
feel, you probably don't feel like you missed out.
Nah, right? Nah, man, it's all good. I will tell you this, though, man, after that session, I could not, they were tracked three songs here for his acoustic record, and I could not get those three songs out of my head for like a week and a half.
So how did the Snoop Dogg thing come about?
Very much the same way.
He was on tour?
He was on tour and needed a place to... They were doing that. He did the West Coast Blueprint record. Mm-hmm. And so they needed a place to track. And that was an ordeal. Like, you know, he basically... It was supposed to happen before the show. Then it was clear that it was not going to happen before the show. So instead, he sent his opening act here to do the chorus of the song, and they came, did their thing after their show, and then they went back, and then we just hung out until Snoop showed up, which was at like, I don't know, 4 a.m. or something. And he came in and spent the first hour watching his kid's football game on his laptop, and then when he was ready, then he went into the booth and totally proed it out. And
the life of a rock
star.
Yeah,
man,
right?
It was kind of hilarious. So that happened, and then the following year he was on tour again, and they needed a place to shoot a Pepsi commercial. So they shot the Pepsi commercial
here in the vocal booth?
For the Super Bowl, yeah. In the booth and in the live room. So they
really?
Yeah, they set up a big track and had the whole camera crew out there and tons of light. They actually blew up our console because they blew the power here, and the power supply on our console got fried when they blew the power, which was great because that console was on its way out anyway. So,
So they covered your console as well?
No, they didn't.
No?
Oh, damn. No. Insurance?
Yeah.
A blessing in disguise?
Sure.
So one thing, and I've asked you this, I asked you this before when we were recording, but I want people, the thing that was the first question I asked, or I wanted to ask you when we met was, can you even listen to music? Like, with the amount of time you spend listening to music and working on music, like, can you even listen to music for pleasure anymore? Or is it?
I can, but there's a period of dissecting it that I have to go through. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I put it in and I listen for all the technical aspects of the record. And then once I've gone through my mental process of breaking it apart and building it back together, yeah. then I can enjoy it, you know?
So it's very similar to, I've had Sean McPherson on the show a couple times, and he's recorded here.
Love that dude, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. We were talking about an Outkast album.
Yeah.
And just the ear that people like you have, and Sean, it's like, exactly. How can you listen to music? Because you're listening.
Well, and that's the thing. You listen to it all day. Like I imagine, and maybe I'm wrong, but if I listened to music, worked on it all day, mm-hmm. like I would get in my car and I would be like, off.
Yeah.
I need silence.
I just listen to talk radio in my car. To be honest with you, unless I'm listening to a record that I'm mixing and I need to like reference,
new,
you know
right,
what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, but yeah, usually like I pull out of here, I listen to my mix a couple times on the way home, and then I switch it off to something that's not musical.
Right.
You know, statistically, they say that listening to the Thank You Rob podcast is a great way to unwind.
It's ear cleansing.
The kids love it.
Yeah.
The kids love it. Well, except
we,
for the
we
cussing.
All have such really appealing voices.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, very much
absolutely.
So.
Yeah.
Because we're, you know, we're smooth. Like
smooth over everything.
Yeah.
More recently, you've worked with a friend of the podcast, Isid.
Yeah.
Pheromone Heavy.
Love that
project.
Dude, too.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Yep. He just showed me some new stuff that's he's involved in, and mm-hmm. it kind of made me real happy.
Yeah?
Yeah. Good. It's not him rapping. It's him producing.
His production. Okay. His production really is outstanding.
Absolutely.
He really does nice work on production.
So what's the newest stuff you're working on, if you're able to talk about that?
Yeah, who are you able to
there's a couple things I don't want to talk about. There's definitely a couple things I can talk about. Mm-hmm. I'm working on this record with Joey Van Phillips, who's a drummer in town here. Killer drummer. He plays with Dessa, and he does a bunch of corporate gigs. Which he probably would hate me saying that, but like total monster drummer, man. Like if there was a drummer like that, I feel like can like just really hit a bunch of different genres and like really get and figure out things. Like there's a couple of me being a drummer personally. Like there's a couple of drummers in this city that I feel like blow my mind every time I watch them.
Mm-hmm.
And Joey's in that category. Mm-hmm. I can count him like five on my fingers basically. But so he and I have been working on this record for the last couple of years, and it's quite the undertaking in that it's all hip hop related, but it's all live percussion mm-hmm. based basically. So all mm-hmm. the melodic stuff is all like vibes and marimbas and glockenspiel and stuff like that, and then all live drums. So we're making this record, and I think we're like 10 or 12 songs deep into it now. And it's all, we've got a bunch of different guests on it basically. And I'm super stoked about the record, but I'm also super stoked. Like we actually did a performance with it at the Cedar and had like 12 musicians on the stage all pulling this stuff off but we got like some pretty talented people on this record. We got, Abby Wolf, and
she's terrific.
Yeah. Right. Dessa, POS, Sims, Medium Zach, Fort Wilson Riot, lended their vocals.
Medium Zach, friend of the podcast.
Yes.
Yeah.
We always got a name drop.
Yeah, man.
I always got to say friend of the podcast.
Look forward to that, Joe.
Yeah, right. I love it.
In the future.
We just had Open Mike Eagle come in
and do
a couple things on a track. Yeah, man. Like, I'm super excited to be working on it. And we're getting to that point where he's a busy dude and I'm a busy dude, and it's been like this labor of love where we're working on it together, mm-hmm. and we're finally starting to get some feet underneath it where it's like we've got a handful of songs that are actually done and we're starting to get in a mix phase, and it's pretty great. So
nice.
I'm pretty stoked about that record.
Is there a name for that project?
No, not really. We've just been calling it JVP, Joey Van Phillips. So, there's no...
Working title.
It's a working title, man. Yeah. So... But I'm excited about that one for sure. And then there's a couple other things that I'm involved production-wise, producer-wise, that I'm pretty excited about. But they're all in pretty early stages, so not really anything worth talking about yet. Yeah.
I'm sure you'll give us previews and just hand over songs and masters when we're done.
That's right, exactly.
That's just how it works.
Yep. Yeah, of course. I'll be sending the mix to the mastering engineer and to you at the same time.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Just, get our feedback and make sure that we approve.
Make sure you guys are on board with this.
Yeah.
If it doesn't have the Thank You Rob stamp of approval.
Yeah.
No. I got to say this, Joe. it I think it's important to shine light on you, the guy in the background that's behind all this stuff, you know.
Sure. Most people don't care about that, though. Let's be honest.
Especially guys like me, I'm a credits guy. Anytime I buy an album, I still buy physical copies of albums of artists that I really like.
Appreciate you.
And I mean, I know the producers who wrote songs. I'm always curious, like, who did this, you know, mm-hmm. who engineered this, you know.
Yeah.
So that's awesome.
I am, too. Like, I'm the nerd behind the scenes, so I like to know who's doing the stuff behind right. the scenes. So.
Right. So what was the idea line? First thing I do after I buy a CD is open it up and see if my name's in the shout outs.
Yeah. Shout out to Idea, by the way, who five years
since his passing. That's coming up in
November, right?
Yeah,
November
9th, two or three weeks, like, I think. Yeah. Over
and
at,
the anniversary of his death, I believe Friday of this week.
Yeah, it's coming up here.
So RIP, very missed. Very missed in the scene here.
Absolutely. There's a really nice article in City Pages that we neglected to mention earlier about Idea, and they interviewed a bunch of people who were close with him and saying, you know, sort of, you know, what did we lose? When we lost Idea, what did we lose? And everyone mm-hmm. sort of gave their own. And it was cool, you know, DJ Abilities and his mom, Carnage, friend of the podcast, Amber Ace Cleveland.
Right. Yeah, okay.
Lots of people. Brady O'Rourke, my buddy.
Yep.
Christoph Crane.
Yep.
So a lot
Joe,
of...
Joe, has Idea recorded here?
You know what? Idea and I, we had a great relationship in that we never really worked on anything together. I did a couple like remixes for them. For mm-hmm. you know, they had the I can't remember what track it was that made an EA Sports game, and so mm-hmm. we had Twinkie Jiggles, shout out Twinkie Jiggles, come in and like relay some bass lines to mm-hmm. remove sample stuff. But my relationship went a little deeper than studio stuff with him, and that you know, I would go out and hang out with him at his house, at his studio.
At his studio.
I helped him wire his studio, and we would just talk shop all the time. And we'd spend just hours just, like, bullshitting about, you know, nerding out about music, the behind-the-scenes credits kind of stuff. So, and I was just a huge fan. Like, when he brought me, you know, he would always bring me his material that he was working on early, and we'd listen to stuff, and we'd just throw ideas off each other mm-hmm. and stuff, and... that's like one of the biggest things I miss about that dude is mm-hmm.
right.
just his openness to like really, you know, and his love of just creating his music. And
yeah. I mean, he really did touch a lot of people, and the people who got, you know, I feel so fortunate and blessed to have been able to work with him. And everyone I know who's able to work with him feels that, you know, or even just to know him feels that sort of same way.
Right.
And,
yeah.
I will say, so Joe, John and I knew each other from, we had a record label years ago called Lunatics Productions mm-hmm. and we had a recording studio, and I had this garage. I owned this house in North St. Paul, mm-hmm. converted this detached garage to a studio. Didn't look anything like this.
Sure.
But it was similar.
It's not like what you think of when you think of like a garage studio. Like it was nice. It had its own vocal booth.
Sure.
Like,
yeah.
You know, it was a good studio.
Yep.
The most expensive thing was a Neumann microphone that we got.
Yeah, fancy Neumann.
That was the bread and butter.
Yeah.
It was so nice.
You got a good front end. You got a good recording. So.
Yeah. And we recorded when we were doing the PLC stuff. Idea came over and we recorded the PLC Idea track mm-hmm. in that studio. We get in there though. It was funny because we told him, like, okay, so here's how we record. We get all our stuff. You know, we set up, we do this, we do that. He's like, all right, we're not doing any of that.
Everything you know,
like, okay,
we're
okay.
not doing it.
So we get in there. He's like, oh, this room has a great vibe to it.
Yeah.
And he's like, this vocal booth, grabs the microphone, throws it in the middle of the room. He's like, this is where we're recording.
Yeah.
And I might have told this shit on the podcast before, but when he set it up originally, it's a song that doesn't really have a hook. It just it's three sections of four bars each three times. Between the three of us, we'd go 4-4-4. Mm-hmm. And he initially, we were recording it like a layup line. Like you'd do your four bars, you'd run to the back of the line. Next person would step up, they'd do their. The problem was our levels were all sorts of off because we weren't rapping at the same volume. But it brought the very cool energy. It was like, who would have thought? And the song ended up, it turned out great.
Yep.
But the.
Dopamine off of hip hop.
Yeah, off hip hop. Mm. But it was just, he brought just such a unique vibe to that. And it doesn't sound like anything else on the record.
Right.
It sounds so different.
But, you know, so a lot of people talk very highly of people who have passed on. You know what I mean? And that's common.
Yep.
But it is one of those things. Like, that guy, he was such a personable person. Like, I remember I work a 9-to-5, and I remember like these guys saying ideas coming to your house to record later. You know what I mean? I'm like, right. Are you fucking kidding me? So I remember coming home and I was just nervous. It was like, I put him on such a pedestal. I mean, I wasn't a huge fan then. Right. But after meeting him, it was like, this is a genuinely nice person. It wasn't like he's some big shot, right. You know, better than you person. Mm-hmm. And he was very personable, very friendly.
Yeah.
And it was a wonderful experience. Yeah, totally. I gotta say.
And he ended up, when we ended up doing we did two record release parties for that show. We did an 18 plus one at the Dinky Towner. We did an all ages one at the venue that no longer exists, Foundation.
Foundation, yeah. Yes.
And he didn't owe me anything. But when I'm like, hey, we're doing these release shows, he's like, yeah, let me know when they are. He showed up. He performed the song. He didn't have to do that. I mean, he was under no obligation to show up and perform those songs. He did it out of the kindness of his heart. He didn't ask for anything. He didn't ask for money. He didn't. He just showed up and did the songs just because that's the kind of dude he was.
Yeah.
Well, now that we totally got off track of anything
about track
Joe.
On the idea. But, you know, it's timely given the anniversary and all the stuff that's coming up. And, So should we jump into High Five?
We should jump into the High Five.
You can't hear it, but we're playing the song, the High Five intro right now.
Nice. High Five. Have you ever heard of Ritz, the rapper?
Ritz.
High Five. He's part of Tech N9ne's label.
Okay.
Strange.
He's got a song called High Five.
Okay.
And it's playing right now.
Nice.
You can't hear it.
We'll play the intro after.
But yeah, this is the High Five here.
High Five. So we're going to ask you five hard hitting questions. We're really going to cut to the core of who you are as a man.
Yeah.
I'm going to start it off here, John.
All right.
Growing up in Green Lake, Wisconsin, Joe, what is the one thing you wanted as a kid but you never got?
Oh, wow.
Power wheels.
Are we talking like, you know, like materialistic kind of shit?
Is this what we're going with? Whatever, man.
Oh, man. Okay, yeah, here we go. I never had a big wheel.
Really?
Yeah, so I never had a big wheel. Yeah, man. My friends that had the big wheels and the ones that had that brake so they could do the
whip some shitties.
God damn, that was awesome. I did not have that. Instead, I had this really generic three-wheeler thing that had, it was kind of cool though, you know, it was fine. It was just that really tiny plastic wheels.
Yep.
And it had like this, almost like a soapbox kind of stand, you know, like a handle thing on it.
But it didn't have the handle.
Nah,
brake.
Man. And you didn't sit down. You had to sit on it and it was like a kick kind of thing.
Oh, okay. Wow.
You know, but yeah, man, I was pretty envious of my friends that all had the big wheels. That shit.
You think you're better than me?
Yeah, exactly.
With your big wheel? Yeah,
check out my thing that was awesome. It has the number 7 on it. So.
So did you graduate from like Green Lake? What was the area?
It was Green Lake, and Green Lake was the rival school. I grew up in the country. So I was right on the border between Green Lake and Princeton, Wisconsin. And so I went to school in Princeton.
How big was your graduating class?
34.
Okay. Oh my god, that's pretty small.
Yeah. Oh yeah, man, we're talking tiny schools.
Okay.
Yeah.
You made it to the big time man.
Yeah. Look at me now.
Look at you. Look at
me
now.
Pull up my own pants, mom.
All right. Question number 2. You are on American Idol. You can sing one song. What is the song that you choose to sing?
Oh man. Do I have to be good?
No, you can just whatever you have.
This
in your
is
heart.
A new question.
Superstition.
What songs
Stevie,
in your heart?
Stevie Wonder.
All right, you didn't take much time to think
Very
about that.
Very superstitious. Yeah.
Yeah. You big Stevie Wonder fan?
I love Stevie. Yeah.
Did you check him out when he came to town?
I know I didn't, man. I don't go to any shows anymore.
That was at Target Center too, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was at Target Center.
I really feel like
I wanted to go to that show.
That was a show that I like. We were talking about the Madonna show.
Yep.
And I didn't know anybody that went to it. You know. At that show, I was just like, everybody I know and their dog got into that show.
I was in Vegas that weekend, and I really wanted to go to Stevie Wonder, but I was, of course, out of town. But I kept seeing people's like Facebook and Twitter stuff about it, and I'm like, I'm in Las Vegas partying my ass off, yet I'm jealous of the people who are in Minneapolis.
Looked like a killer show, man.
Yeah, it did. It really did. I know you've done a lot of work in studios.
Mm-hmm.
What is the worst job you've ever had to do?
Oh, I worked at a plant nursery for one day. I've always had really good work ethic. Mm-hmm. I've had jobs for as long as I can remember. Now this is not a job. Clearly, like this is not work by any means. Like I get paid to make people's music, so that's not a job. So this doesn't count. But in high school, I worked at a plant nursery one day unloading a semi truck full of trees that had been rained on, in their like potted bags.
Right.
And let me give you a picture of 16-year-old Joe, 5'2", maybe, mm-hmm. maybe 5'3". All of 100 pounds on that rainy day. So I did that job for 8 hours, and I just remember I was just like, you know what, I'm gonna do this today.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna do this today, and I had my lunch break, and I was just like, I'm gonna go back. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna keep. And I went. I unloaded that stupid semi full of trees, and then I walked into the desk, and I was like, I won't see you guys tomorrow. And they were just like, fair enough.
Yep. Yeah.
They were like, you're never going to work in this town again.
Thanks for unloading all those trees.
Pretty much it, yeah.
That's like,
so an eight-hour shift was one semi truckload?
Yeah. Yeah. That's so many trees.
Man. I was all by myself, man. Yeah.
Do you remember the name of the nursery or the...
Grow house, maybe? Green? I don't know.
Yeah, make sure you put them on blast publicly, yeah. Right?
Fuck that place.
I hope you like your job.
I hope your tomatoes die.
Wow, that's harsh, man.
Man, well, you know, I was angsty when I was 16.
All right, Joe, if you were a box of cereal, what kind of cereal would you be and why?
Oh, man. Rice Chex?
Yeah?
It's a safe bet.
Safe?
Mm. Yeah, it's safe.
Because it's gluten-free? Is it gluten-free? I don't even know.
I think it is, but that doesn't concern me.
Okay.
I'm not a big sugar in my cereal fan.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, my kids eat Cheerios and Kix, and the Kix even, like, I don't know when, but they started putting, like, a bag of cereal in Kix all of a sudden, so.
So it's extra sweet now?
It's totally sweet now. It's really weird. But, yeah, Rice Chex.
Really?
Man. Rice Chex all the way.
Because Kix used to be, like...
Oh, the most bland thing in the world.
But there was like a little bit of sweetness to it,
yeah.
Right?
No,
but
now it's like... It might as well be Fruit Loops.
Sugar
oh, really?
Balls.
Yeah, man.
Damn.
Yeah, Rice
Chex. The man got to them.
Yeah, yeah. Totally did. Yeah.
So you're not just going to be... No one's going to find you on a weekend chowing down on a bowl of Lucky Charms or anything?
No, man, I can't stand that stuff.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't even like that stuff really all that much when I was a kid.
Okay.
Now, that being said, I used to take cornflakes, like a bowl of cornflakes, and I would put like 4 heaping spoonfuls of sugar in it so that you could see the mound of sugar over the milk, basically. Mm. And so that's how I would eat my cornflakes.
That's funny. But, yeah. You know, we were just talking. I was at Target last week, and when Rob and I see new cereals, we take pictures, we text them to each other.
Yeah.
Because we do a cereal news segment.
Nice.
Sometimes. We didn't have one this week. We were going to because I found Halloween edition Captain Crunch. I was
nice.
Like, great, let's try it. So I brought it home. I opened the box. It was just Crunch Berries, except the Crunch Berries were shaped like ghosts.
Oh,
so
sure.
Nothing to report.
Man, I used to love the cereals that you would like have to dig through to get the prize.
The prize.
Yeah.
The
do they still do that? I don't even know.
It's rare.
Is you
don't
get as many prizes now. Because kids are all like, I like the internet. I don't need a toy.
I get my prizes from the internet.
I remember, remember when He-Man was big?
Oh, yeah.
I remember buying, well, I didn't buy it. My parents did, obviously, Rice Krispies, which was such a bland. As a kid, to me, it was like, I don't want to eat Rice Krispies.
Yeah.
But I will tough out a box of Rice Krispies to get to this puffy He-Man sticker that was included at the bottom.
You gotta get the puffy sticker.
Gotta get that puffy sticker.
I wouldn't, man. I would just go right for the. I would open the bag, dump it all out in the bowl, find the prize, and then try to put it all back in the bag, and then the box would be all bloated.
Yes.
Mom would just get so pissed.
Stop dumping
out all the cereal. Just be patient.
That's awesome.
Sorry, Mom.
All right, I got a question for you here.
The
last question for you, Joe. So you do the studio. I don't know if you have like a set schedule when you work, but the question being, what is your favorite day of the week?
My favorite day of the week? Well, in the fall, it's Sundays because it's football.
Mm.
Big football fan.
Mm-hmm.
Packers fan?
Packers fan, man.
Nice.
You too. Peas in a pod.
Born and raised, man. you know, I'm spoiled with the best quarterbacks ever of all time.
Yes.
Playing for that team
Never had
forever.
A bad quarterback.
Never. So Sundays are great, and you know, it's also the day that I just try to not work and try to be home with my family on a regular basis.
Yeah, because I suppose your hours are. I mean, you work nights, you
right?
Work all
I'm
late,
all over the place, man. So you know, there are days where I just don't work in the day and I hang out with my girls, and then I come to work at night.
So if Snoop Dogg calls on a Sunday, you're like, nah, Snoop.
Snoop Dogg calls on a Sunday. I'd be like, yo, let's do this after the game, Snoop. Man, so Snoop's a big Pittsburgh fan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm obviously a big Green Bay fan. And so when we did that Super Bowl commercial, it was that game, that Pittsburgh
Green
Bay game. Yeah. And so I wanted to make a bet with him just to be a dick. it didn't, but I asked him. I was like, so who are you rooting for as he's like dressed in the Steelers? Like, yeah. Glad. He's like, foot dog. You know, like, of course I'm going for the Steelers all the way. I was like, I don't know, man. I don't know. Like,
you know who's a big Packer fan? Lil Wayne.
Huge, yeah, that's right. He huge did. Packer fan. What was the song? There was a song that was really big. Why can't I think of the name? And he did his own version of it with a Packers theme.
Was it the Black and Yellow song?
Black and Yellow. So he did Green and Yellow. Or something like that.
Is he a Seahawks fan too?
No, I don't think so. Because there's pictures of him on, because he's from New Orleans. So you'd think he'd be a Saints fan, but he's not a Saints fan. Right. He talks about how much he loves the Packers. Like, in interviews. And there are pictures of him wearing a cheese hat. You imagine just Lil Wayne with the cheese hat.
That's so funny, just a picture of that.
I need to see that.
I'll pull it up.
You know who's a big Saints fan? Ellen.
What?
Ellen DeGeneres?
Ellen DeGeneres.
I thought you said Allen. I'm like, who's
Ellen? No, Ellen DeGeneres. Yeah, it's a big Saints fan. Yeah, because she's from Nolens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, great story, huh?
Sure.
Yeah, thanks.
Wait, high five.
High five.
Nice.
Well, I think, do you have your days, your weeks? How many days a week do you work?
That depends, man. Like, this week I'm here 5 days, maybe six. I can't remember. No, 5 days. I have tomorrow off. There he is.
A picture of Lil Wayne wearing a cheese
classic.
Head.
So I got tomorrow off, and then I'm taking Friday off as well, but then I work the weekend. Mm-hmm. I got a band coming in. I got More Than Lights coming in.
More Than Lights.
Yep. We're going to start tracking their new record.
Is Zach part of that group, or was he part of that group?
He has used them on a regular basis for big shows and stuff
Friend,
like that.
Friend of the podcast.
Friend of the podcast.
Podcast, yeah, man. So it varies. And then, like, next week, I think I'm only in here because I'm working so much this week. I'm trying to give myself a little time off. Plus, I'm going to Washington, D.C. on Thursday. So I'm only in here a couple days next week. Out of town for a little while. So, and it ebbs and flows, man.
Yeah.
Just it comes with the records, so.
That's the beauty of owning your own business.
It really is. Slash the headache.
Right.
But,
yeah.
But, you know, when I take time off or when I want to take time off, it just happens. And
Zach was in More Than Lights, left the group in 2012.
There you go.
Okay. Well, this concludes our high five segment.
High five.
For the week.
High five.
That's good. Can you hear it?
No.
You just knew. He was right on time with
I did my best.
It's like that.
Instinctual.
Well, we've been listening to this 150 episodes. No, I don't know how long we've been doing the
high five.
Long time.
Too long. Mm-hmm. Well, Joe, now, if you want people to get a hold of you,
how
to book
can people
some time
look up your studio?
With the Hideaway?
People who are listening to the show, they say, this sounds like a friggin' great place.
Tell them to go to the head shop in Dinky Town.
Yeah?
And they'll point them in the right direction.
There's no ties with
the two,
right?
There's no ties, man.
Okay.
I had to take myself out of the yellow pages when those guys came around because I was getting the funniest phone calls. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
would you consider it a head shop, a smoke shop called the Hideaway?
Yeah.
And there's actually, I think there's one in Oakdale, too.
Yeah, they've got a couple of them now. Yeah. Those fuckers are growing.
Yeah.
That's
not where you want to go. You want to come to the Hideaway.
Come to this Hideaway.
Now, that being said, I got a good story about Omar Bliss, who went to the wrong Hideaway.
Oh, did he really?
So he was like, hey, man, is there a recording studio, like, in the basement or something? They're like, nah, you're looking for the recording studio? That's over in Northeast. So you can just go to my website, thehideawaympls.com. That's where you're going to find any info that you need to find on me. So,
and it will be linked in the show listings of the podcast episode here.
Mm-hmm.
Make it easy
on
for
the
you.
Website. It's got a list of a lot of different stuff, people that you've worked with.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It's got all
the
clients.
Always one of the rare
stuff.
Guests of ours that has their own Wikipedia page.
Yeah.
So if you go on Wikipedia, you can see some of Joe's discography, the stuff he's worked on.
Very impressive.
It's an impressive catalog.
Every once in a while, I'll speak at some things. I also teach a mixed lab class at McNally Smith, and so I'll be involved in workshops there. And we do outreach things with like traveling groups from Kansas City. I think was the last time we had a group come in and do a workshop at the college. And so the technology, man. It's like, you know, you tell them, you introduce yourself who you are, and like all of a sudden you see the kids like whipping out their phone, and you're thinking they're just like not paying attention, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden they're like, this dude's got a Wikipedia page.
Suddenly you should listen to me.
Yeah, suddenly everything he said is validated.
It gives you some credibility for sure when they're like, oh, he's got Wikipedia, so he's legit.
Yeah,
he's legit.
Means nothing to me, but it's it's fine. It's great.
So, Joe, one last question: do you? You don't have to answer this, but is there any one particular artist that you've worked with or someone that is your favorite to work with?
Well, I favorite is a
some
harsh,
favorites.
A harsh say, word to throw out there, because then I'm going to start getting looked at cross-eyed next time I run into some. I have a handful of favorites. Obviously, you know, the whole Rhyme Sirius family has been really great to me over the years. I don't think I'd have the career I have now without the support of that whole record label. And because of the relationships that I've built there, I love Brother Ali. I love Shaka. I Self Divine is, I think I Self Divine is, I think, my favorite dude on that whole establishment. And that's not a secret. Like, the last record that he and I did together, very proud of that record and very proud of that dude. And I think he's a stand-up human being.
Absolutely.
And, you know, Ali, I hold him up to that same standard. I think Ali is just a very impressive individual. And Atmosphere are great, you know. Those dudes have supported me for years now. So it's really great. And they're all just talented, man. They're super talented. So that's, you know, anytime I get to work with really talented people. And on the on the come up, you know, obviously everybody in Doomtree, I think, is spectacular. I think for a collective like that, seven people, and to all have their own individual talent and still have their own shining star within a group like that is pretty impressive, you know. They're the mini Woo. So,
you've worked with those guys quite a bit, right?
Yeah,
you did crew records, you did individual records. Didn't you even do Plastic Constellations records with Lazerbeat?
Yeah, I did a couple of their Plastic Constellations records. Yeah, man. So like my history with all those guys runs pretty deep, and not just in the rap world, but
what was the PLC group? Building Better Bombs? Bombs too?
Yeah, man. So, you know, it's like, and then the spinoff even to that with Marijuana Death Squad. So did a bunch of that stuff.
And did you do Gangs stuff as well?
I did not do Gangs, but I sang on that record. You know what I mean? So it's like, there's this, all these like little, and again, like, it's just, you know, it contributes to the amazing community that's here in these cities that like, and the fact that everything's so intermingled and intertwined, it's a beautiful thing.
Right.
So favorite, no, because they all like coexist together. So my favorite is just being involved in all of it in general, you know? So yeah, I don't know.
That's very cool.
Yeah,
very
man. Cool. Like there are no favorites. I think just the fact that I get to do this and work with so many talented people and be involved in it in the degree that I am, that's my favorite thing about it. So,
well, I want to thank you again for letting us come through and do this.
Absolutely.
Very honored for just letting us come through here.
Come in and check it out and sit down and have a great conversation. And
fart on your couches.
Yeah, it's
The Hideaway MPLS.
Someone's got to break them in.
Yeah, exactly.
So, thehideawaympls.com, Instagram, thehideawaympls.
Yep.
Give it. Twitter or Facebook
at the Hideaway MPLS. Yeah. I'm sure I have a Facebook out there too. Yeah,
and make sure it's the Hideaway MPLS, not just Hideaway.
Yeah, MPLS. It's the Hideaway MPLS.
Instagram,
same.
The thing. Hideaway MPLS. I'm looking at it right now.
He's looking at it right now.
They're all connected.
Okay, like them on Facebook. While you're at it, while you're on the internet, head over to thankyourob.com. Click the podcast link, listen to past episodes of the podcast. A lot of the people we talked about tonight, past episodes. Friends of the podcast. I Define Design. I do some graphic design work myself. Websites, the Johnny question mark, Falling in Like album art.
Album art, Rob did.
I did that.
Album art.
Nice. All three of us did some great work on that
Falling
album.
In Like.
We really threw our hands in on that one.
We did. Yeah. We did.
Nice job. Team. Nice job, everybody.
Available.
Really awkward. It was only a good job. Some of you guys.
Yeah, John. questionable.
Available for free at Johnny.
Right now, available for free. Johnny question mark
for a limited time
That's
only.
Right.
Blowout special.
Yeah, that's
yes,
right.
At johnny?.com. Also at thankyourob.com, a link to Fuzz Talk Radio, some good friends of ours down in Mankato. 24/7 internet radio playing Minnesota music all day, every day.
Every day.
They have their own shows, including replaying episodes of this very podcast on there. Yes.
What up, nuts?
And finally, the best way to support the podcast. I'm not asking you to open your wallet and just hand me some money, although I would accept that.
Sure. We would take the
money.
We would take that
and do very good things with it.
Yeah.
But the best way to do it is Amazon Associates. You buy your stuff there anyways.
Yeah. Go to Amazon.
If I have to come to your house and beg you, if I have to come to your house and like put your hand is on your mouse and I put my hand over your hand, it's going to be uncomfortable.
It's like the scene from Ghost when they're doing the clay. Yes. Except you're directing
less
them
erotic
to Amazon.
Though.
Yeah. What song is
or
playing
more,
in that scene? That's a big song.
Yeah, it's a big song. Oh, man. It's the Everly Brothers, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I'm going to get that song. I'm going to play it. It's going to be super awkward, but we're going to have a good time doing this. And I'm going to follow your hand. Click, click. Go to thankyourob.com. Click the Amazon link. Buy your stuff. Please support us. Halloween is coming, too.
It is.
I bought my costume. I'm going to be Mugatu from, what's that movie? Zoolander.
Oh,
Zoolander.
Nice.
So we'll
nice.
See how that goes. I bought my costume through my own link. So... I'm supporting myself.
Way to put it in your pocket, man. That's good.
I think that's all I got. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Do all that stuff. Be our friends. Like us on Facebook. Like the Hideaway Studios on Facebook. And just be a good person. That's all I ask of you this week. Until next week. I don't know what you're gonna do next week, but
who knows?
Joe, any last words?
No, man. Thank you guys for coming and hanging out. This was a lot of fun.
Absolutely, and thank you again. And Johnny question mark.
I got nothing.
He's got nothing. I'm going to end it with handshakes and high fives.
Yay. Ladies and gentlemen, you made the right choice this evening. If you know me, you know I love my family, love my God. Before I knew either, I love my art. So I'm married to the pen till death do us part. Rock hard with all my heart. God is bronze, call me avant-garde. Ride the cars, I'm all off the chart. Only thing poppy about me is what my Puerto Rican mommy called me when she on me. And the wrong me is all I let y'all see. I believe if I can properly. Obviously, a lot of y'all agree. Remind me what the fuck is Stop Ali. Only me as far as I can see. Not free in my philosophy. By BDP, it apply to me. I'm just a guy to lead a crew. That mean the true people that believe in you and hold it down and do what they need to do. Street preacher, say you don't believe what these people teach. For me neither. He who follow his dream is deemed leader. Freedom fighter meets the peacekeeper. See me creeping up in the pulpit with a full clip fit to speak to the people. May I suggest you just believe, dude. Everything he speak on really true. He's proved he will never mislead you. Treat you as nothing less than equal. That's why they call me Brother Ali too. Always seem to be through. No quitting, I killing it to the beat through. No kidding, I'm in and everything we do. Rap beef bullshit so see-through. They don't like the hoops, they gotta leap through. So they turn on each other like the weak do. Your little chief to me, fool me too. I came here to turn the party out. Y'all know just what I'm all about. Y'all for a